I was thinking after Luke finished his prayer that he should come right back up and give the sermon. I don't think I could have said it any better than that. When he mentioned about the fact that as we go out into the world, it's difficult to be a Christian. And what we're doing here is helping to strengthen ourselves against that. And I could not have said that any better. These are the years, these are the times in our lives where we're strengthening ourselves, hopefully, while we're here. These are the moments where we are putting down roots. I want to talk this evening about the statement there that Jesus makes in the parable of the sower that certain ones did not have any root. Moments like this are when we're putting down roots or not, spiritual roots, to hold us later in life. How do you build a strong house? It starts with a strong foundation. It doesn't matter about the shutters and the shingles and the doorbell. What kind of a foundation do you have? That's what's going to determine the strength of that house. In the New Testament, the local church is described as being built upon a foundation. The foundation of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. Ephesians 2, the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. But what about the individual Christian life? What kind of roots do you have right now? How serious are you right now? How serious am I about living the Christian life, about going to heaven? How far down do your roots go? In the parable of the sower there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, turn with me there and we're going to look at the parallel account in Mark in just a minute. But Jesus said that the devil is still out there. And if we still believe in Jesus and we believe that his words are true, then we would have to agree with him that the devil is still out there and he's trying to get each and every one of us. He's already gotten a lot of folks, including some who used to be members of the church. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 13, verse 12, those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil. Underscore that in your Bible. If you still believe what Jesus says, then you have to believe that the devil is still out there trying to get us. And who does he get? Who does he take away the word from? Well, the wayside soil was the soil that was packed real hard. That's where you walked. And so the seed did not penetrate. It didn't get down in there. And it was easy for the devil to take away the word in that person's heart. And then look at verse 13. Those on the rock, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Their roots don't go down very far to hold that plant in. Their surface, they're not mature. They're casual. They don't have any depth. Being a Christian means having depth. Let's look at the parallel account in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. How deep are we? Are we deep or are we shallow? In Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, speaking again of those on the rocky place, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway they stumble. They have no root in themselves. How deep are you and I this evening in our relationship with Christ? Turn with me now to Jesus' statement in Luke chapter 6 Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount with regard to the house being built on the rock or the sand. I want to look at Luke's statement by way of our lesson this evening. And it goes along with what Luke was praying about earlier, and that is giving us those moments in which we are strengthened to be able to go out into the world and face those things that we have to face. Of course, we know that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 talks about the wise man who built his house on the rock, and this is Luke's account of that. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh unto me and heareth my words and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock." This is the part that Luke adds that's not in Matthew's account. He digged and went deep. The word there literally means to excavate, to dig and then dig some more and keep digging and going down and down and down. We're going to talk this evening about digging deep. We're going to have to dig deeper than some things in our life. Sometimes we approach things in life and we're shallow and we're surface. We're going to have to dig deeper than that if we want to keep the devil from taking us away. We're going to have some root. We're going to have to get down there below some things maybe that we've been used to doing or the way we've been used to approaching things. We're going to have to get below that and get deeper than that. So this man digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream broke against it, that house, it could not shake it because it had been well builded. And notice that Jesus said it was well builded, and Jesus didn't talk about the shutters and the shingles and what kind of painting was that. He was talking about the foundation. That's what determines the well building of the house. You and I are going to have to be rooted. We're going to have to dig deep. And that's what we find when we look at other passages of Scripture. The house has to be strong. The local church has to be strong. The Christian needs rooting in his and her life. We're going to need that at different points. And we hear from time to time about someone who was raised in the church and now they're not faithful anymore. What's happening is they don't have any root. They weren't digging deep. We're going to need some rooting and some grounding at different points in our life, starting right now. Some of us are in those very points in our life where that's what we need. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's look at how the Apostle Paul uses the idea of being rooted and grounded. How grounded are you? Ephesians 3 and verse 17. Turn with me there. Ephesians 3, 17. How deep are you? How grounded are you? How rooted are you this evening? Paul talks about in Ephesians 3, 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend. And then he goes on to talk about some things that we need to know as a Christian. Are you rooted and grounded? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1:23. Paul talks about being ready when Christ comes again, and we all want to be ready when Christ comes again. Colossians 1:22. But in order to be ready when he comes again, verse 23, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Paul is using a word here, grounded, to mean a foundation. That which has some depth to it that will hold us all the way until the time when Jesus comes again. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him and established in your faith, even as ye were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Rooted. How deep are you? How deep am I? There are times in our life when we're going to have that depth. I can think of a few things. There are the preteen years and the teen years when we are easily influenced. And if we don't have depth, we're going to be taken away during those years. Those are the critical years where we make the decision to become a Christian or not, and make the decision to be serious or not about our relationship with Christ, or we can just continue being influenced by the people in the world. That is a time in our life when we're going to need some rooting and grounding. Another time that I can think of would be leaving home. It may be going off to college. It may be getting married when we have more freedoms. You're going to have to be rooted and grounded. All of a sudden, you're bombarded with all of these freedoms and all of these things that you can do, and mom and dad aren't around anymore. You're going to have to be rooted and grounded. I can think of critical moments in our life when we're challenged to do wrong. We're going to need to be rooted and grounded at those moments. Or maybe when we get older and we're married and we have family and we have more choices and responsibilities and activities going on in our life and midlife, and things are full of all kinds of things going on, we've got to be rooted and grounded. And then, last of all, when we've grown older. When the passing of time wears on us, and now we're older and we've just had to endure so much, we still have to be rooted and grounded, because there are individuals who leave the faith when they're elderly. There are different times when we need to be rooted and grounded and deep. Are we working right now to lay down those roots? This is the time of our life when we need to be doing that. This evening, I want us to talk about then some situations that come up in our life, and we're going to have to be deeper than what we're talking about. We're going to have to get below that. If we want to keep the devil from taking us away. And we'll find in this list that some of these things we might be able to expect to talk about, but some of them may be a surprise when we get to them. But know for sure that in all of them, we're looking at biblical examples. These are examples that have already been shared with us in God's Word, and some of these may be surprising. It may be surprising what can take us away. You're going to have to be deeper than that. I'm going to have to be deeper than that. And then I want to close this evening, after we look at some of these things, with some practical admonitions for all of us as parents and children and concerned brethren. What can we do on a practical basis to make sure that we're digging deep? You and I are going to have to dig deeper than just good times. There's people that will serve God when things are going great. Just recently, somebody mentioned to me that they're struggling in their relationship with God because it started right after their wife passed away. And that was a hard time in my life, and that was a difficult time in my life, and now I'm struggling with whether or not I'm trusting God. You see, we're doing well when things are good. But look at Job. His family's taken away from him, his personal possessions are taken away from him, his own health is taken away from him, and he continues to serve God faithfully. James says that he had patience, chapter 5, verse 11. We're going to have to get deeper than a God of just good times. Because there's going to be some bad times in life. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some serious things that hurt us. And we're going to have to be deeper than just a God of good times. God gives us good things in life. But we know because of sin and evil and other things in the world, there's going to be some bad things going on. And we've got to be able to weather those storms. We've got to stay faithful at that time. But there are people who will use bad times as an excuse to quit. They'll use bad times as an excuse to give up. We've got to get deeper than just good times. And when those times come, like that came to Job, we've got to remain faithful all the way through. Turn with me to John chapter 6. We need to dig deeper than just fun and games and fun and food and thinking about our own physical lives. We've got to get deeper than that. Do you remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus fed the 5,000 and then he goes around the lake and he's preaching again and some people followed him that had been fed the day before and they want to get some more food? My life is about food. You know, my life is about eating food. Well, we need to get deeper than that. Social and recreational and fun and food and having a good time. There is a time and place for that. But not every day is that. Not every moment of the day is that. And so when they come around and they find him again, chapter 6 and verse 27, "Work not for the food which perisheth, but for the food which abideth unto eternal life." And then he teaches them a lesson about what it means to be a disciple. And so verses 26 all the way through the chapter, he's talking about how that you need to come follow me and you need to put me first. And lo and behold, look at what we find in verse 66. "Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They were shallow. They were surface. All I want is some food. And when Jesus taught them about true discipleship and what it's going to take, the work that it's going to take to follow me, "I don't want that. I'm out of here." And the text says that they left. We're going to have to be deeper than that. We're going to have to be deeper than fun and food. And get to the point in our life where we're serious about serving God and Christ. I'm well aware of Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to laugh and there's a time to mourn. Nobody likes to laugh more than I do. Nobody likes to tell a good joke more than I do and rib somebody and kid somebody. But there's also a time to be serious about serving Christ. And these folks were so shallow that when Jesus didn't give them some more food, all he's doing is talking to it, preaching to us about discipleship. "I don't have time for that. We got to leave." And there are people like that today. You're going to have to dig deeper than that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to have to dig deeper than opinions. Have you ever noticed sometimes in a local church, somebody will go missing and you find out later that, "Well, somebody said something wrong to me and somebody looked at me the wrong way and somebody did this and somebody did that." Sometimes in the local church there will be opinions that are expressed and we need to understand that that's what they are. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13, that there's going to be some people who eat meat and some people who don't. And Paul said, "I'm not going to cause my brother to stumble." There's matters of judgment, there's matters of opinion, and there's personality differences in a local congregation. But some people are so shallow that they get slighted in just the easiest little way that somebody looked at me wrong and now I'm gone. We've got to get deeper than that. Verse 10, "If a man see you who has knowledge sitting at meat in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be emboldened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through thy knowledge he that is weak perisheth, the brother for whose sake Christ died." And thus sinning, there's sin involved here over matters of opinion. Someone is going against their conscience because they see me eating meat. I'm not willing to give it up and I'm just going to force it on them. So they violate their conscience in sin, and there's problems here, and it's all over matters of opinion. Express your opinion, but be mindful that that's all it is. And yet some people are so shallow that that's the very thing that causes them to get upset and leave. We're going to have to get deeper than that. Turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18, the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, there were members of the church in Corinth who continued to come to the assembly. They did not forsake the assembly. They were coming to the meeting house. But look at what the text says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18. First of all, when you come together, they were still coming to the local church. I hear that divisions exist among you. Somebody says, well, when I was growing up, I always came to church. Well, you're going to have to get deeper than that. Because these folks were coming to church, verse 18, look at it. When you come together, they were coming. But there was division there. And you can look all through 1 Corinthians and see that there was marriage issues going on. And they were harboring a fornicating brother. In chapter 6, some of them were going to law with their brother. They were still coming to church. Every once in a while, a parent will say, I don't understand why my son or daughter is unfaithful. I always took him to church. Now, don't misunderstand me, parents. I am not poking fun of any of this or making light of this. I'm just trying to get us to put our thinking caps on. Let me just use the example of Sherry and I. Sherry and I can bring our kids to church, but they can become unfaithful. Just being here right now physically is not going to guarantee that when we leave, the devil is not going to get us. We've got to get deeper than just being here. Being here is a part of it. We have to be here. But what are we doing while we're here? What is our attitude while we're here? How are we acting while we're here? That's the key. Am I engaged? Am I engaged when it's time to sing and pray and follow along in the Bible? Or am I just physically here? They were there. They were physically present. But the verse says there exist divisions among you. They were just going through the motions of being there. And they had problems. We're going to have to get deeper than just coming to church. Jesus said they have no root. We're trying to help ourselves this evening to keep the devil from plucking us off and picking us off one by one. And that seems to be what is happening more and more in the world. And the way we avoid that is to have depth and root. And we're going to have to get down below some things in order to do that. We're going to have to get below and deeper than just worldly friends. This takes Christians away. Well, where are they? Well, they're out with their friends. And we need to have friends. We need to, the Proverbs talk about having friends. We need to influence others that are in the world and bring them to Christ. But what's happening is they're getting the upper hand. They're pulling us away. Bad company corrupts good morals. And James 4, friendship with the world, makes us spiritual adulterers with God. We're going to have to get deeper than that. And what happens is, we go out with them, we're with them, and then, well, I'm not praying as I should, I'm not reading my Bible anymore, then I stop attending. And sometimes it involves married people and children. And now the children are not being raised in the church. Why? Because of my worldly friends. What happened to Jesus? Why isn't He our friend? But our worldly friends, because we have things in common. We like to get together and do things that are the same, and yet that is jeopardizing our eternal salvation. We're going to have to get deeper than that. And we can find those in the church to be friends with. We're going to talk about that later in the lesson, but are we going to let worldly friends take us away? You're going to have to get deeper, and I'm going to have to get deeper than my parents' religion. Somebody says, well, what was good enough for my parents is good enough for me. And maybe we were raised right. Maybe we're here this evening and our parents raised us according to the New Testament truth. That's certainly a possibility. But if it's not, then we're going to have to get below that and get back to the New Testament church. And if I need to make some changes, I need to do that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul went along in his life and he was raised as a Jew, and his mom and dad made sure that he went to the school there where Gamaliel was teaching, wanted his son to have a good Jewish education. But when he met Christ, he's going to have to make a decision now. Do I just go with my parents' religion, or do I become a Christian? Verse 14, I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond my own age among my own countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, straightway I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned unto Damascus, and there he started preaching Christ. Acts 9. He says in Philippians 3 that he was going to give it all up for the knowledge of Christ. Well, I was raised in this church, or I was raised in that church. Well, if it's not in the New Testament, I need to be willing to give that up. I've got to get deeper than that. This one may surprise us while we're here in the book of Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians 2 and verse 11. We may need to get deeper than our own church friends. Do you have any friends here at church? Do you have any close friends at church? This one may surprise us. I think sometimes because they're church friends, we may let our guard down. We may think that that's not a problem. We're very familiar in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11 where Peter was being hypocritical. Verse 12, he was associating with some Gentiles, and then when some Jews came from Jerusalem, he backed off and acted like he didn't want to be with these Gentiles. And we're very familiar with the part of the story where in verse 14, Paul confronted him to his face. We're very familiar with that part of the story. But I want you to notice verse 13. Have you ever noticed what happened to Barnabas in all of this? What happened to Barnabas? Barnabas had his eyes on Peter, and he assumed that Peter was acting right and living right. Peter's an apostle, after all. And so I'm just going to do what Peter does. And the text says in verse 13 that he got carried away with that hypocrisy the New American Standard uses. Why? He was listening to Peter. He was watching Peter. He was following what Peter did. He had a church friend. We're going to have to get deeper than that, because there may be in the church someone who is living in a way that's not according to Scripture. Just because they're a church friend doesn't necessarily mean that they're living and acting according to the Scripture. And we drop our guard and we just assume that this person in the church is telling me the right thing. They may not be. And that was Barnabas' mistake. Even Peter, the great apostle, was wrong. And so verse 14 says that it was so bad that inasmuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. In chapter 5 and verse 7, turn with me there, Paul talks about these Galatian brethren who were being taken away after the wrong gospel. And some of the people that were doing that were in the church. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? It's people who were in the church who were teaching another gospel. They'd let their guard down. So we're going to have to get deeper than church friends. Sometimes a church friend can be very much Bible-oriented and Bible-based, and very much a part of getting me to heaven. But a church friend can also be someone who is not living right according to the Word of God. If Peter could do that, certainly we could do that. So we have to be very careful about that. And we're going to have to dig deeper than that if that's a situation in our life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to have to be deeper than old habits. We've got to put off that old man, language, dress, attitudes, dispositions. Ephesians 4:25, putting away all falsehood. He mentions several things there to put off. In Colossians chapter 3, that's another parallel passage to this. Colossians 3:5-10, put off the old man. Somebody says, well, I just, that's the way I always am. You know, I always lose my temper. That's just me. You just have to work with it. Or whatever. No, I need to put that away. I need to get rid of that. That's not just my fallback plan. Well, it's just a bad habit of mine. I've got to put that off and get rid of that. Turns me to Philippians 4:2. Have you ever known of anybody that quit because they had a personality clash with someone in the church? Somebody said something to me. Somebody looked at me the wrong way. Had a little bit of a rift there in the foyer with some little something going on. Something was said in the class. You ever known of anybody that quit because of that? I've known of people like that. You're going to have to get below that. You're going to have to get underneath that and get more grounded and not let that be something that causes a problem. I don't know what the problem was between Yodia and Syntyche, Philippians 4:2, if you'll turn there. But Paul encourages them to be of the same mind. We're not given the details as to why they were at odds. But if there's some little something like that, we're going to have to be deeper than that and not allow that to be the thing that causes the devil to get us to go away. We're going to have to be deeper than human philosophy. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. I hear more and more about some brethren. It'll be something like, well, I was reading a book the other day and this scholar says and that scholar says and this internet article says and et cetera, et cetera. And we start following that rather than God's Word. We're going to have to get deeper than the PhDs and the scholars and what a professional says and just simply follow the Word of God. What does the professor say? Well, it doesn't matter. What does Jesus say? That's what matters. We're going to have to get below that. You're going to have to dig deeper than Church of Christ teaching. Turn with me there and I'll explain why I put that the way I did. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. There are some in the Lord's church who are teaching things that they ought not teach. We would expect it error. We would expect error from maybe something out in a denomination somewhere, something out in the world. But we're talking about, with regard to Hymenaeus and Philetus, we're talking about people who are in the Lord's church. Well, brother so-and-so believes. No, we're going to have to get deeper than that. Well, brother so-and-so preached it this way. No, we're going to have to get deeper than that. In 2 Timothy 2:18, Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who concerning the truth have erred. You can't err from the truth unless you're in the truth. They were in the truth. And we know from 1 Timothy that they had made shipwreck of the faith. You can't do that unless you're in the faith. We're talking about members of the Lord's church who are teaching. What are they teaching? The resurrection is past already and have overthrown the faith of some. Some were taken in by that because they were shallow. They listened to Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, if I were there in the first century and heard that, I would be puzzled as to why are you guys saying that? That would be a puzzle to me. Why are you saying that the resurrection is already past? But some of them were taken in by that because these guys were in the church. And whatever they say must be right. We're going to have to get deeper than that. They overthrew the faith of some because they listened to these guys. So anyone, myself included, test everything that is said, myself included. Test what Chris says every time. Don't ever take anything for granted. Keep our Bibles open. Always search the Scriptures. We can be taken away by someone in a Church of Christ because brother so-and-so is a well-known brother. He's well-known in the brotherhood. He holds a lot of gospel meetings. He writes for the journals. Maybe he even teaches at one of the colleges, etc., etc. So what he's saying must be true. No, no. We've got to get deeper than that. We've got to get deeper than just the material things around us. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 9 and 10 that some are led away from the faith because of the love of money, just material things. Some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Over what? Just technology, a phone, computer, car, house, money. We're going to give it all up for just some material things that you can't take with you when you die. We're going to have to get deeper than that. We're going to have to get deeper than the love of money and this focus on material things. Look at 2 Timothy, if we will, with me at chapter 4 and verse 10, where we know there about Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Earlier, when Paul talked about Demas, we learned that he's a traveling companion in the book of Acts, and he's working with Paul and serving with Christ. But now he's just, well, there's something out there in the world that I like better. We're going to have to get deeper than that. If we expect to be faithful and not get caught up in the materialism and the technology and the things, those are good servants, but they're slowly becoming our masters if we're not careful. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. We're going to have to get deeper than bitterness. Has anything ever bad happened to you, and especially maybe in the Lord's church where it involved maybe another Christian, and you got upset at that? Do you know that bitterness can be what the devil uses to get us to quit? We're going to have to get below that. We're going to have to get deeper than that. And I'm not suggesting this evening that the pain in our heart over that matter is not real. It may be very real. But you and I are going to have to decide whether or not we're going to let that keep us from serving the Lord or not. In Hebrews chapter 12, bitterness can be the very thing that can take somebody away. Looking carefully, lest there be in any man that falleth short of the grace of God. See, he's become unfaithful. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. There have been people that have been hurt in the church, and then they're just going to carry that with them to their grave. We're going to have to get deeper than that and let that go. You know, people out in the world promise us good times. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Hey, you can have fun. You can live this way and you can live that way and you can have a good time. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. Here are some Christians that are taken away from the faith because they listened to somebody, verse 19, promising them liberty, while they themselves were bondservants of corruption. And then the well-known story there in just a few verses about the dog returning to his vomit and so forth. The Christian who falls away. How did it happen? Verse 19. Somebody promised them liberty. We're going to have to get a little bit deeper than that. When somebody in the world comes along and advertises that you can dress any way you want and talk any way you want and act any way and be free and have a good time, we're going to have to hear that and just completely ignore it and get deeper than that. That's a tactic of the devil. We're going to have to get deeper than just a casual carrying of the Bible. It's in our hand, but it's not in our heart. We don't really know it well. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We need to know our Bibles. I want to encourage all of us to keep our Bibles open, even during the sermon, if you will. Look at the Scripture. Keep looking at that. Keep studying that. We don't just want a casual, general smattering of knowledge of God's Word. Look at 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. People with that type of approach, Paul says that the ignorant and unsteadfast twist as they do the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. A lot of times we might carry this book around, but we really don't read it and know it. And then in time we end up twisting it to our own destruction. The ignorant and the unsteadfast. Let us really know our Bible. Let's get deeper than just a casual approach. Let's get deeper than past reputation. Turn with me to Revelation 3 and verse 1. Well, I was raised in the Church of Christ, and I've been a Christian for X number of years, and I used to do this, and I used to do that. Are we resting on our laurels and just on our past reputation? We know about Sardis, who had a name that they were living, but they were dead spiritually. We're going to have to get deeper than just a reputation. and what we used to do and how we used to live. And then last of all, we know about the church at Laodicea. We're going to have to get deeper than just mediocre Christianity. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. We're not really hot. We're not really cold. We're just somewhere drifting along there in the middle. And mediocrity is fine. Lukewarm. But according to Jesus, he wanted to spew them out of his mouth. We're going to have to get deeper than these things that we see out there in the world. And I hope that this has encouraged us to do that. As we close this evening, I want to just practically speak on how we can do that quickly. First of all, start early as you can, in training up a child, in raising them on the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Start early. That's when the roots are getting down as far as they can get down. Don't wait till late in life. Number two, let's not simply go through the motions of religion. I just go to a building. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul talks about those who have gone away from the faith, and grievous times will come and people will leave the faith. And one thing he says is, among those people, those who hold a form of godliness but have denied the power thereof. They just have on the outside a shell of religion. Go to church, take the Lord's Supper, fill out my Bible class lesson. But it's not real to me on a daily basis. It's not genuine and real and sincere and deep. It's just going through the religious motions. Let's make it genuine. Let's make it real. Make every prayer around the table in our home real. Our Bible study and our Bible reading at home real. Not just motions. When we're here in the assembly, it truly means something. Our mind is on worshiping God and serving God. And also, in our family lives, we're going to encourage our children to be a part of the process. Encourage them to say the prayer. Encourage them to read the Bible. Instead of just a form, a shell, it's going to be real and have depth to it. Number three, we can be truly active in the local church. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, that which every joint supplies. That which every joint supplies. Let's make sure that we here at the Warfield Bull of our congregation are active and not just a name on a roster. There are duties that have to be done. We still have those lists in the back. Is our name on there? And are we including our children in that type of work? They have to have a personal investment in this congregation if they're going to be putting down the roots. Because I'm telling you, when they get an opportunity, 18, 19, 20, 21, and they're gone, they are gone. And if they haven't had that personal investment, then they're going to see no need to do that anywhere else. That which every joint supplies. Is my name somewhere on a blank back there? And are my children a part of that service and work as well? During Bible class and during worship service, be serious about serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Be involved outside the assembly in things that we can volunteer for. We have to have that personal investment. That's when the roots are going down. That's when we're digging deep. And then last of all, we've got to let God work in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. There's one other place, and I left it for last, where this word foundation is used in the New Testament. It's translated with the English word strengthen you, so we may not recognize it as the word foundation, but it's still that word themelios, foundation. And the God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little while. Now this is God. God shall himself perfect, establish, strengthen, found you, settle you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You've got to let God do that. And He will, and He wants to. Start early. Let's not simply go through the motions. Be seriously active, more than just a name on the roll, and let God work in our lives. Jesus said that the devil came along and took it away because they had no root. We're going to have to be deep, brethren. Maybe deeper than we currently are. I know I could be. Maybe you could be. And this lesson, I hope, will encourage us to do that. The devil is out snatching those right and left because they're up here on the surface. They didn't get down deep. There have been times when we were at home and Dad would ask us to get a shovel and go out and dig something real deep like a post before we never could afford the small tractor with the hydraulic post hole digger on the back. We had to do it by hand or by shovel. And you know, you get down there a little ways into the dirt. That's really hard. It's hard. It's easier just to be surface. It's easier to be up there on the top. But the stability is down there, and it's worth it if you'll do the work to get down there. It'll take you all the way to heaven. And that's our encouragement for this evening. That's where we want to go. But we're going to have to get deep. And we can't be shallow. If we can encourage you in some way along those lines, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?